this morning, a very, very powerful message that was also brewing in my spirit, and I want to share with you. The sermon title is this: Drought is over and the rain is coming. Amen. Drought is over and the rain is coming. Praise the Lord. You know, when I first arrived in the year 2005, and I understand in Australia, particularly so in Melbourne, there was an intense water rationing. We were not able to bathe too long, by the way, and we were not able to water the plants, or neither could we actually wash the car. There was a real serious water rationing during that time. But if you think that was really bad, you can imagine Israel was going through a curse of drought for 3 consecutive years. And during that time, Elijah prophesied drought into the nation of Israel is because Israel was living in sin under the leadership of King Ahab and his wonderful wife Jezebel. And so I'm going to read a portion of scripture very much later after a challenge that Elijah had with the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah. So allow me to read to you 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41, right up to 46. Right behind me, you can see those scriptures. Follow with me as I read them. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there is a sound of a heavy rain." So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. "Go and look towards the sea," he told his servant. And he went up and looked. "There is nothing there," he said. 7 times Elijah said, "Go back." And verse 44, the 7th time the servant reported, "A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea." So Elijah said, "Go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Verse 45, "Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the wind rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel." Father, I pray for your grace. I pray for your anointing. I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to rest upon us and lighten us the power of your truth today in Jesus' name. Amen. After reading that passage, I want to help you to understand even better, but we need to go back to chapter 17. Now, Elijah, whose name also means Yahweh is God, he made a confrontational situation with King Ahab, and he prophesied a drought over Israel. It was a challenge against the evilness of the king, against the evilness of the nation, against the evilness of Jezebel. This drought is actually the result that has been prophesied against their wickedness. By the way, the drought is not only a punishment against the worshippers of Baal or people who worship Baal, but the drought is also a prophetic punishment and challenge against King Ahab and also his wife Jezebel. And soon after chapter 17 challenge had taken place, or the prophecy was spoken, right at the beginning of chapter 18, this is where the challenge began. Elijah decided to challenge King Ahab and the prophets of Baal and also the prophets of Asherah. You can see that in verse 19. The Bible says he tells Ahab, "Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel to Mount Carmel and 450 50 of the prophets of Baal and 400 of the prophets of Asherah. Wow, you are challenging 850 occultic prophets who ate and eat at Jezebel's table. This is a great challenge, but the challenge was meant to unveil the truth of God's power. The challenge was to bring the people which is necessary for them to come to a realization who is the Jehovah God Almighty. Because of Israel's failure, Israel failed through their covenantal relationship. They were worshiping other gods. They were tempted to worship even other gods. They succumbed to that worship. Listen, brothers and sisters, we are oftentimes being filled with choices. The challenge was to place a choice for Israel. Either you choose the living God or you choose Baals or the Asherahs. There will always be choices. Brothers and sisters, our entire life are wrapped up with choices, choices, and choices. Our entire life are wrapped up with decisions, decisions, and decisions. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Every day of your life, the moment you get up, you have made one choice, either to get up or to sleep. You have made another choice, either to brush your teeth or not to brush your teeth. And some of you don't open your mouth if you don't. Some of us, we get up, we have to make a decision. Whether should I go to work or not go to work? You get up to make a decision. Should I marry or should I not marry? Should I marry this person, a player or a confused man or a boy? Or you want to marry a good man? You got to make a choice. Every day of our life, we are making choices after choices. Why? Because it begins in Genesis. Am I right or not? It was all right there at the spot when Eve was told to make a choice. And you and I cannot run away. Every day, should I prepare the breakfast for my husband, or you should get him to prepare the breakfast for himself? Am I right or not, Lala? We make choices every day. Every day, should I go and accompany him or not? Should I come to church or should I not? Should I worship God or should I go to the city and meet my friend? We make choices every day. And bear in mind, every consequence, every result that you have, it's all come from choices. The challenge is on. Israel had to make choices. The battle is on. And now everything was prepared. The Baal prophets and the Asherah prophets began to squirm, began to shout, began to scream for their God to come down and consume the sacrifice. Oh, brothers and sisters, they were doing it every moment and they could not even get any answer. So what they did was they slashed their body, they whipped their body, and it came to a point, Elijah, I loved him because he's so sarcastic. I love sarcastic prophets. He said, is your God sleeping? Where is your God? And soon after they have screamed and got tired, Elijah said, come, come near to me. All the people came near to him. And the Bible says, Elijah repaired the altar of Yahweh that was thrown down. Oh, brothers and sisters, there was an altar of a covenant relationship with Israel. This particular altar was torn down. It was unattended. It was torn and tattered. It was unused. Many a time they don't even bother about the altar because they were worshiping other gods. Brothers and sisters, do you know we have an altar here? I believe it all my heart. The church is the altar. Somebody say amen. This is the altar where God began to establish his name in Jesus Christ. God wants to repair the altar. God wants to repair the church of Jesus Christ today. You know why? We have such a majestic decorated buildings and majestic buildings, but we are not preaching the message of Jesus Christ. We are not preaching the message to tear down the enemy stronghold. We are not preaching the message to get people back to the kingdom of God. We are itching everybody's ears. We are scratching everybody's back. We are not preaching the message. But today you will hear the message. The message that will tear down the enemy in Jesus' name. If you want to give him praise, give him all the praise. Brothers and sisters, we need God to repair this church. We need God to repair the house that we can become the house of prayer. We need God to repair this house, become the house of worship. We want God to repair this house where it will be a house where the Holy Spirit dwells and work among us in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of Yahweh came, saying, Israel shall be your name. And at the same time, Elijah put on the 12 stones that linked up to Yahweh's altar and then rebuilt the covenant heritage. And I want you to know as well, when the stones was built, Elijah did not just build an altar. He actually built the name of Yahweh. He actually built the name of God. I pray today that this house, this church, this altar will be built with the name of Jesus Christ. Not Pastor Calvin's name, not anybody's name, but the name of Jesus. Because people need to know that when we rebuild a work in this house, we are declaring who the Almighty God is in this house. Somebody say it. Amen. He needs to be known. He needs to be clearly shown. At the same time, if you look at verse 33, the Bible tells me Elijah got hold of the wood and he cut them, and he cut the bull as well and in pieces and laid it on the wood. And he said to the people, fill 4 jars with water and pour it in on the burnt offerings and on the wood. This is a very unusual situation because water is a rare commodity. Water is a precious commodity. Yet Elijah is telling these people to pour in 4 jars. I'm not talking about small jars, huge jars. Pour 4 jars of water onto the sacrifice and onto the trench that was built around it. Fill it up with water. And not only once, listen to the Bible. The Bible says 3 times, 4 jars, which means in total, there were 12 jars. You know something? When I read, I can tell you, deep in my heart, that we oftentimes become so afraid with disadvantages. But in this passage, it tells me one thing. When you and I are faced with disadvantages, that will be the time of the greatest manifestation of God's power in the name of Jesus Christ. You may think that you are on a disadvantage angle and you said, I don't think God will ever come and do any work. You come to a point, you said, I am a disadvantaged situation, but God says, I can do all things. I can do anything that seems impossible to you, but it's possible in me. And I want you to know one thing for sure today. I don't care what disadvantage you have, but I do care one thing, that God can do a miracle. Amen. God can do a miracle. Oh, come on, church. If you want to give a good praise, give him all the best in Jesus' name. Come on. You know what? The scripture went on further. He says, at the time of sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. I love this. Prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed. You know what, church? I'm asking you today. Is there anyone in this house is going to step up and step forward and pray? I'm looking, God says. I'm looking for people to step forward and pray. And this is what Elijah prayed. Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me. Lord, answer me. He said it twice. So these people will know you, Lord, that ye may know you, that you are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again. You know, that prayer was not about, Lord, answer me that they may know who I am. Never. Elijah stood up and he stepped forward and said, Lord God, answer me, Lord, answer me so that they may know that you are Lord. They may know you. That's what the church is for. The church is always pointing and directing with the arrow towards the kingdom of God, towards the name of Jesus, not to ourselves. And I say it to everyone who wants to be in the ministry in the future. Don't step into the ministry if it's all about you. Step into the ministry as long as it's all about Jesus. The Bible tells me the fire of the Lord fell. Wow. He used the word, the fire of the Lord fell. Do you know the impact of the word fell? He said fell, it just came. It didn't come in slow motion. No. It came with power. When the Bible says the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice. Listen to this. It burned up the sacrifice. It burned up the wood. It burned up the ground. It burned up the soil. And bear in mind, you know what the miracle is? The fire licked up the water. It went against all natural law, isn't it? The fire licked up the water. You know, brothers and sisters, when the fire of the Holy Ghost comes and it comes down upon us, it consumes everything within you. Somebody say amen. It is not part of you. It is not some of you. It is every aspect of you. If there is a need for a change, every aspect of life needs to be changed. Let the power of God fall upon you in Jesus' name. I pray today that it will be the same situation as the people during that time when they saw that they fell. The Bible says they fell prostrate and cried out, Lord, He is God. Wow. I'm praying for that revival. Somebody say amen. I'm praying for this nation to fall and prostrate and bow before the living God, because every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, brothers and sisters, we are praying that this nation will turn their hearts and their soul to Jesus Christ. You know, chapter 18, right at the beginning in verse 1, the Bible says Yahweh, God, told Elijah to prophesy the three-year drought. And this three-year drought is coming to an end. Somebody say amen. This three-year drought is coming to an end. But then he went on to say in verse 39, he says, after the Israelites acknowledged Yahweh as God, and verse 41, Elijah then said to Ahab, get up, eat, and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain. You know something from that scripture? In verse 39, he says, after the Israelites acknowledge Yahweh as God. After. We need to pray to the point that you will confess that there is no other God but God Himself alone, who is Christ. Until you acknowledge that He is the Lord of your life and the master of your life, don't expect any miracle. Don't expect any change. Don't expect any power to take place. Until you acknowledge, then Elijah told Ahab, and this is what he said to Ahab. He says, go. Go and eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. Somebody say amen. There is the sound of revival coming soon. There is the sound of God coming to restore this nation. There is a sound of God repairing the work that is right here in Jesus' name. God told me that we are standing at the threshold of God's divine breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. We are standing at the threshold right now. Elijah told Ahab, you may not see the rain, but there is the sound of the heavy rain. Hallelujah. You may not see the revival, but it is the sound of that revival. Oh, brothers and sisters, some of us, you and I, may not see any improvement, but we do have the sound of progress coming out. We may not see the blessing of God, but we have the sound of the blessing and the mighty wind that is coming upon this church of Jesus Christ. There is a sound of the prophecy, though you may not see the fulfillment of that word yet. There is the sound of the mighty wind sweeping across this room, though you may not see the Holy Spirit. There is the sound of the Holy Spirit moving, though you may not know, but there is a sound of his movement. There is a sound of God's promises, though you may not see it happening yet. If you want to give him praise right now in Jesus' name. It was the sound. It was the sound of God's calling. It was the sound of God's mission. You may not see much happening or growth in your life, in your family, but I could hear the sound of the ground breaking. I could hear the sound of earthquakes taking place in many different places because revival is coming soon. Revival is coming soon. There is a sound of curses breaking and thrown away. There is that sound. You know, Elijah, the Bible tells me that he climbed up Mount Carmel. I thought I put the chair in front, but I thought better not, because you might see the glory of my head. He climbed up on the Mount Carmel. He bent down. Trust me, that is not an easy posture. And he put his head between the knees. And he started praying, because deep inside him, he heard the sound, and he's expecting something to happen, and he was expecting great things to happen. And so he told his servant, "Servant, go up to the mountain, tell me what you saw." And so the servant went, and when the servant went to the mountain, and he came down, and he asked, Elijah asked the servant, "What did you see?" And the servant said, "Nothing. Nothing." We expect something, but nothing. Elijah knew something is going to happen. He was looking for that sign, but there was nothing. Since we have nothing, there is nothing we could do. You know, that's how we feel many times, isn't it? Sometimes we feel we could do nothing with our children's life. Sometimes we feel that we could do nothing with our health because the doctor says you have cancer. Sometimes we feel there is nothing we could do about it. There is no progress. There is no improvement. There is no growth. There is no increase. There is no, there is nothing. There is nothing. There is nothing. There is no provision. There is no blessing. There is no breakthrough. You keep looking and said, there is nothing. Sometimes we grow up, people said, you are nothing. You remember this young lady by the name of Gianna Jansen. The mother decided to abort her to get rid of her because she's nothing. That's what the society said. The little feeder is nothing. She is nothing. She's already 4 weeks old. She's nothing. She's already 8 weeks old. She's nothing. Nothing. But God preserved this baby. Amen. She was delivered alive in the abortion clinic. And now she is the proponent and the voice for all potential babies that might be aborted. You probably see nothing, but you know you heard something. I heard the sound, but I see nothing. I heard the promises, but I see nothing. Sermons after sermons, I heard a pastor preach. I heard a pastor say that there's going to be great things. I heard, but I see nothing. I heard someone prayed over me. I heard those words, but I don't see anything happening. This is hard, isn't it true, church? It is hard for you and I to say that we heard something, but we didn't see anything. It's hard for us to believe in something good, but nothing is happening that you and I can see. You prayed. You prayed for life to be changed. You heard the promises. You cling on. You claim the word. But nothing is happening. I prayed for souls to be saved. But nothing is happening. I prayed for my friends to be saved. But nothing is happening. I pray for you to be committed to church. Sometimes I don't see anything happening. I pray for you to bring souls to the kingdom of God. Sometimes I don't see new friends coming. Nothing is happening. But I remember I heard the sound. I heard the sound of the crowd walking through that door. I heard people screaming because they were delivered from demon possession. I heard people's lives that were facing and encountering the miraculous hand of God, causing their bones to be reshaped. I heard the sound. I heard that sound. I heard that sound. Even though I don't see anything, but I heard that sound. And I remember the previous church I started with nothing. In this church I started with nothing. And brother and sister, the disciples took the boys' lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, because the rest of them have nothing in their bags. The disciples were called to evangelize 2 by 2 with nothing. And Jacob left the home and ran away from Esau with nothing. Ruth followed his mother-in-law, lost her husband, and the mother-in-law has no husband and even lost a son. And they went back to Bethlehem with nothing. Oh, brothers and sisters, even the disciples followed Jesus and left everything behind, and they followed him with nothing. Yes, nothing. Nothing. But then the Bible tells me there was drought for 3 years. And Mount Carmel, Elijah, probably despondent, he told a servant, and he continued to pray, "Servant, go back to the mountain and see anything, whether you could see anything." Servant ran to the mountain, probably 1,000 steps. Amen. Came down another 1,000 steps. And the second time he came down, Elijah said, "Did you see anything?" "Sir, there is nothing." "Go back again, go back again." Elijah was praying, "God, show me. I heard a sound. I know something is going to happen. God, show me." He's praying. And the servant came back, "Sir, there is nothing." Elijah said, "Son, go back to the mountain." And then he ran again another 1,000 steps. Third time. Came back, nothing. Fourth time, came back, nothing. Nothing. Fifth time, he went back and said, "Nothing." Elijah is now getting frantic. God, you showed me a sign. There is a sound, but there is nothing. Why? Nothing. We worship again. Nothing happened. We pray again. Nothing happened. We sought the Lord again. Nothing happened. And we told the people to walk Jericho one day. Nothing happened. Second day, nothing happened. Third day, nothing happened. On the seventh day, the first round, nothing happened. Second round, nothing happened. Third round, nothing happened. Told Naaman to go down to the river of Jordan. Dip yourself seven times. He dipped the first time. Nothing happened. Second time, nothing. Leprosy is still on. Nothing, nothing, nothing happens. And then all of a sudden, Elijah was tired and weary after six times. Lord, what is that sign? I know I heard that sound. I remember Jesus called me to pioneer the church in Malaysia. First month, nothing. No souls. Second month, I go around the whole garden and give out tracts until I had migraine. No souls came. The third month, and all of a sudden, a woman and an eight-year-old boy. And that they walked in, I was so excited, but I don't even know their needs. I don't even know their situation. And there are only five people. One, two, three, four, five. And that boy is as fat as you. Seriously, he's as big as you, 8 years old, but you're big, you're older, right? Cuter, yeah, chubbier. And it's true, he was such. And the mother was right there. And all I preached was a simple message, only five people. And the Lord said, give an altar call. My goodness, five people give altar call. I don't think anybody wants to do that. But the Lord said, do it. So I did. That boy was the first one who walked out to the altar and then followed by the mother. And when I found out, that was the first time they gave their life to Jesus Christ. Today, that young fat boy is 39 years old. He has a PhD and he is a lecturer in a very prominent school. And now I can tell you honestly, this young man has three children, and he's worshiping the Almighty God. Nothing. And Elijah said to the servant, go back to the mountain. He went, and he got excited. He came back, sir, I saw a cloud that is so small as a man's hand was formed. The size of a man's hand rising from the sea. Elijah almost immediately said, now, since the seventh time, he said, a cloud has been formed. I want you to know something small has developed. But when that something small has developed, do not despise. Somebody say amen. The church was formed in a small size, like the cloud that is formed as a size of a man's hand. This church was formed as a size of a man's hand, rising up. And then somebody said, they saw a V. Yes, that is a V. That is a victory that is here in this church. Somebody say amen. It's not Vermont. Is victory in Jesus' name. So I want you to know one thing. What's the big deal? Somebody said. It's just a small thing. Probably the servants got excited for a while, but he said, well, sir, Elijah, what's the big deal? It's just a small little cloud. But Elijah said to him, let's go and tell Ahab to hitch up a chariot. The rain is coming. The small development is always the sign of something big that is going to happen. Somebody saying amen. Some of you mothers may be saying, changing diapers every day. I want you to know, changing diapers every day is a small cloud, but it is a sign of something great that is coming to happen. Hallelujah. And the widow of Zarephath told Elisha, I only have a little oil. It's just a small cloud, and so to speak, but there is something great. The blessing is going to happen. Gideon said in Judges chapter 6 verse 15, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. It's just a small cloud, but the Lord said that something big is going to happen. There's something spectacular is going to happen, even though it may be small, but a great deliverance is coming unto the house of God in the name of Jesus. Are you with me? Amen. It was a small thing. It was a small little cloud. You know, when I went to church back in 1982, I went to this church in Malacca, and I went in as a young man, no idea about speaking in tongues, no idea about baptism. Somebody told me prior, he says, don't ever go to a church that is noisy. And I took heed, but when I went into this church, the church was noisy. I was at the verge of thinking in my head to get out of that church. But what stopped me was the genuineness of the people worshiping God. And I stood back and asked God, I do not know what is happening, but please, please, Lord, show me. I stayed on. I stayed on for 2 weeks. Somebody approached me. He said, can I pray with you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And so he prayed, and I was baptized. And there was a small little cloud that was forming in my life. You know, in the church like this, among the young people, during that time, I was the only one having my father's car. Some of the girls, even my wife at that time, thought I was arrogant, driving a car to a youth ministry. The rest of the youth were not driving, but they were riding bicycle and riding motorbike. And this guy drove a car. My wife thought this arrogant freak. He's trying to show. And there were a group of girls thought I was arrogant. But you know what? At the end of that day, all these girls asked me, can you please help to fetch me back? They call me arrogant, but now they're asking me to fetch them back. I became a good man. That's right. I became a good Samaritan. You know what? They made me a driver after that. So I was driving young people in and out of the church, mostly girls. So, I mean, I can't help it. The girls were the one who asked me. I didn't go around and say, do you want me? No, I didn't ask. I was just hoping they don't ask. But they ask. If there is any guy ask, I say, sorry, the girl's already occupied. So anyway, I fetch them. Every service I fetch. And then suddenly, the small little cloud began to develop. The church elders asked me, can you be our transport manager? It sounds good, but actually you are a taxi driver. That's about it. Sounds good, eh? Can you fetch? So I fetch. You know what? It does help. It does help. So I start fetching. You know why it does help? Because at the end, I marry one. Amen. You know, it's always important to fetch the right one, okay? So, yes. And come on. You see, after all that had happened, I have grandchildren. Somebody say amen. So I did that. It was a small little club. Then after that, a guy came to me, and he's a musician. He said, Calvin, would you want to come and join us in the choir? You know, when you get people who always criticize choir, better get them inside the choir. And that was what I did, because I used to sit back and watch this choir having practice. And bear in mind, my wife was one of them. So they were there, and I sat down there watching all these guys and girls, and I was sitting with another guy. I was a young Christian, so I made a lot of criticism. Man, this is horrible, man. Did you listen to that voice? That was really bad. You know that girl? She really can't sing. Why is she up there? So finally, I think they must have heard that story. And this guy came and approached me and asked me to sing. So I said, oh, okay. So I went, and then he put me into a very serious situation to be a solo singer. Trust me, I did that, and I'll never want to do it again. It was not about singing. It was the problem with memorizing. So I'm not very good with memorizing, and that's why my struggle is, and I never want to sing again, but we sang for a while, so the cloud began to form a little bit more. And then when I left my hometown, Malacca, went to KL, they asked me to lead a house group where all the outstationers from Malacca went over to KL to study and to work. And I was told to take over the place to lead them in Bible study. And I was not a very old Christian. I'm just a young Christian, but a very passionate, a very hungry Christian. So I led the group, and as the years went by, as I led this group, the Lord began to call me into the ministry. The cloud began to form, and it began to form. As it formed, I went into full-time, and after I went into full-time, I came out, and the Lord formed the cloud into a bigger cloud and caused me to pioneer a church. And as we began to pioneer the church, through the whole process, God began to grow the church, and the Lord began to form the cloud even bigger by taking me out of Malaysia right onto Melbourne, and the cloud got bigger, and I knew that responsibilities got bigger as well. Amen. So I want you to know it began with very small, but something spectacular is happening. Somebody say amen. If you have something small, don't despise it, because something great is happening. And so in right up to verse 45, the Bible says, meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. Hallelujah. Oh, the sign is coming. Amen. The sound is making it true. And then the wind rose. And the Bible says, a heavy rain started falling. And Ahab rode up to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Brothers and sisters, Jezreel is known as the city of chariots. It is also a vehicle or a transportation for the economy in that city, in that town. It is also used to excel in warfare, because chariots is very swift in their movement in battle. But the Elijah story here, chariots tells me or represent as the strength of man. I repeat that. In Elijah's story, chariots represent the strength of man. And all of a sudden, when the rain came, I want you to know there is a switch of a real power and a real strength. When the rain came, God stepped in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When the rain came, God stepped in. The supernatural continued upon Elijah's life. And the message that we hear today is that the rain is far greater than the drought that they had for 3 years. And the rain started started to fall, and it started to fall in abundance, and the chariots could not speed. And Elijah, under the influence and the power and the anointing of God, was able to run ahead of Ahab. That is the power of God. What does it mean? It simply means this: when the sound began, and when the small cloud began to form, and the outpouring of the supernatural of God began to release, the chariots of this world cannot be greater than the anointing of God. Somebody say amen. When the anointing fall upon you, the strength of this world, the power of this world, the wisdom of this world can never supersede the power of the living God. Brothers and sisters, when the rain fell, the power of God was released. The strength of man cannot outrun the power of God. Just as what you and I would have right now, when there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, our lives can never be replaced by the strength found in this world. When there is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon this church, we do not succumb to the strength of this world. We do not succumb to the wisdom and thoughts of this world. When there is the anointing of God falling upon you, you do not succumb to your human emotion, but you will succumb to the heartbeat of the Father. You will not succumb to your own despair, but you will give in to the power and the authority of God. That's what the anointing is all about, brothers and sisters. When the Holy Spirit come, my faith is firmly inspired by the sound of God's miracle. Though I may not see, but my faith pursues, though nothing is happening, but there is a small cloud that has just been formed, and I know that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is coming into the house of the living God. Let him consume your life, let him consume your heart, let him consume your spirit, let him cause you to arise, let him trigger your faith right now, and not be afraid, but trust. There is a miracle work God. I don't care what our situation is. All men can say anything, but when God says, it shall be done. The power of the Lord came to Elisha, the Bible says, tucking his cloak into his belt. He can run ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. The hand of the Lord of Elijah fell upon Elijah. And when it came upon Elijah, the supernatural took place in Elijah's life. You know why? Because God stepped in. God stepped in. The moment the sound came, God says, I'm coming. The moment the small little cloud was formed, he says, I am here. The moment the supernatural is released, God says, I have stepped in. You and I today do not need to draw a line and say, God, at a distance, you say, Lord, please come and just touch me and bless me. No, we do not ask God at a distance. We say, God, come, step into my life. Somebody say amen. When the healer is right there, you want him to step into your life. Somebody say amen. And when he stepped in, the anointing began to flow. I heard the sound of his coming. The mighty wind is blowing. And when I saw the cloud that is formed, I say, Lord, come, stepped in. And the rain fell upon with the anointing right unto Elijah. And the power began to manifest. And where was the manifestation? Elijah ran faster than Ahab. You can be stronger than the wisdom and thoughts of this world. We surrender to him because he is our wisdom, our anointing, our power. So, brothers and sisters, I want you to know the drought is over. the rain is coming. Somebody saying, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. I want you to stand to your feet in Jesus' name.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.